Blog Talk Radio.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers. Find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Morning. Welcome, everyone. I hope everybody had a very blessed weekend. Y'all know what we're going to do today. We have a big week ahead of us, a big week, and we're going to make it happen this weekend. With that being said, I see I got a hand up right now. Caller 901, I see your hand up. I'm getting ready to get to you. Before I get to you, though, I got to give the inspirational vitamin, and then I will get to the lines. You first in line, 901. You first in line to get in here. With that being said, let me start the inspirational vitamin of this morning. It goes like so. My help comes from the Lord. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him, but you are a shield around me. I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. You can find that passage in Songs, 3rd chapter, 1 and 3rd verse. With that also, I also read from the book of devotion, 1 minute devotion. It goes like this. If enemies are pursuing you and trying to make you doubt the power of God's deliverance by saying, God will not deliver you, then do what David did. Call on God. Who is your shield and protection? If you do this, then you will be able to lie down and sleep in peace because God will watch over you. There is no need to ever be afraid because God is our protector. He will always look after his children. He will never stop looking after us. Let's go to prayer. Lord, my loving God, I know that you watch over us because you are our shield and protection. Lord, we ask you this week to help each and every one of us to do the things in which we need to do to move forward in this life give us favor, give us discipline, and give us motivation to carry out our thoughts and goals. With that being said, I would like to say, Lord, continue to watch over our mothers and fathers, our brothers, nieces and nephews, our whole family. Continue to look after Grudge Inc. and all of our grudge racers here on this earth. Thank you. God bless. All these blessings and more, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for listening at the 1 Minute Devotion. We're getting ready to get started with this morning's show. We got a caller on the line. Let me go to this one. Get you in here. 773-7399. You in here?
What's going on there, Brad? Man, I'm just listening in. I just love listening to your show on this early Monday morning here. I'm at work, so I know we're going to have some noise in the background, so I'm going to put it on mute there.
Who I'm talking to?
This is Jeff from Ground and Pound Racing out of Chicago.
Oh, Ground and Pound. Y'all coming down, Ground and Pound. Y'all coming down this weekend, yes or no?
We won't be able to make it down this weekend. We're going to do the benefit race up here on the 29th when they come back up here.
That would be smart. That would be smart. Yeah. It's all good. I'd love to see you back down here in the Montgomery.
Yes, indeed. We're going to try to make it back down there sooner or later, but I know we're going to try to plan for a Joe's race November the 2nd down in Louisiana. So that's what we're planning on right now.
Okay. That's going to be a doozy right there. That's going to be
yes,
a doozy.
Yes, it is.
Mississippi Joe's supposed to be throwing that race, right?
That's correct. Mississippi Joe. Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be a real nice show. That's going to be a real nice show, for sure. Well, hey, thank you for calling. I'm going to throw you back out of there. And, you know, if you want to say anything, throw your hand up, and you can always add to the conversation. I'd love to have you commentate or come on in and say what you got to say. Appreciate it.
All right, I appreciate that. Take care now.
Yep. Ground and pound one time. Well, callers, we do have our tech man on the line this morning, Mr. Jimmy Marino.
Good morning, everybody.
He's off vacation. Jim, man.
Yes, sir.
All these callers last week, they had text me all kind of questions. I don't know what's in store for you this week. We got a lot in store. I'm trying to get the one and only, the champ of the top sportsman, Dolomite, in the house this morning to talk about, you know, the upcoming race he got with Stone Cold. I believe Stone Cold will be coming on a little later to discuss things. And we're going to have a great show today. If anybody want to, you know, press the one button, if y'all got any questions about tech, otherwise, Jim can go into his topic that he may have, that he had on his mind, that he wanted to get out of the way of speaking on the tech stuff. I don't see anybody. Let me scroll down the screen here, boys. Some callers in here.
You got that 901 caller.
Yeah, that was he put his hand down. 901 put his hand down. So evidently,
okay.
A lot of times, you know, Whit, I know you're out here. Hit me back up, Whit. I know you are. Oh, we got a caller right now. Caller 770-2657. Going live.
Just here, boy. What's going on?
Nothing much. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, man. How y'all doing?
Had a
tech question for Mr.
Marina. Go ahead.
On a nitrous motor, how critical is the carburetor when you're under, I guess, full power both systems? They always say, I heard the old adage that, you know, once
your
nitrous
phone,
is on,
your phone is breaking up real bad. I don't know what's going on.
How about now?
It's a lot of
Hello?
Background static. Not clear. Yes, we can hear you, but it's a lot of static in the background.
Yeah. Come on now.
Well, yeah, I heard your question. How critical is the carburetor
when you're under full
power?
I, Right, I've heard that, you know, with a nitrous motor, once the nitrous is going, you know, the carburetor is pretty much, you know, it cancels the signal from the carburetor. The motor's pretty much run off the nitrous and fuel alone.
That's not but totally true.
Okay.
That's not totally true. I've heard numerous opinions on this, but, man, I really wish Chris Nelson was on. He would probably give a better answer for this one. Here's what I do know. Let me tell you what I do know, and I'll tell you beyond that, I'm probably limited on the subject. Is the signal doesn't go away. The signal actually gets stronger in the carburetor. So the carburetor still at that point is adding fuel to the mixture, and it's having to get air in there. The barrel size, the size of your carburetor plays a great effect, and I actually personally went through that, has a great effect in that mixture and how it runs. So the carburetor's not irrelevant as you go down the racetrack, but it plays a lot less of a role at that point. Your mixture's going to be your mixture, and if your tune-up's good in the big picture, meaning the plugs look good, both timing and fuel, then they look good no matter how you got there. Now, here's the negative side of that, is you're taking plug readings, and if your carburetor's real rich, for example, that's what I see a lot of, where carburetors are really rich, you go and you warm up your car and with a fresh set of plugs, and you pull the plugs out and they're black, all right, and because the thing's really rich at idle and at warm-up. Well, when you put a fresh set of plugs in to begin that run, you go and you do your burnout, and you're staging your car, you're idling it, and the plugs are getting really fat.
Right.
And then you go and you go down the racetrack, and you clean the plugs up during the run, and then you read the plug at the end of the run. Do you think you're getting a real clear picture when you read that plug after the run, even though it may look good? Are you getting a clear picture of what the motor's really running like, considering you basically you fouled that plug, you know, covered that
right.
thing in carbon before
contaminated
ever.
Before the run.
Exactly. So it may not affect as much. Everything in a combination is the big picture, and that's what you really care about. All the kits on, you know, you can have one kit lean and one kit fat, and they equal each other out, and at the end of the day, that it runs okay, but ultimately you want to get it where each kit individually also runs clean. But more importantly,
right.
you want the carburetor to be able to run clean prior to the run, so you don't have problems staging the car, and you're not throwing your plug readings off before the run even starts.
Okay. Okay.
Does that answer your question? Is that kind of where you were headed with it?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a question that, you know, we had discussed the other day. And, you know, I always wanted to know the truth behind it, you know, from somebody who really knows. And, I was just wondering about it. And I actually got another question, something we talked about the other day, too, on small tire cars. And I'm pretty sure you've heard it. The question is, what is the benefit of, you know, mini tubbing, like let's just say a Mustang, for instance, when you mini tub a car, and you're able to go from a 10 to a 12 inch rim, you know, with a 10 and a half inch tire. Is there a true benefit from being able to stretch the rim, you know, have a stretched tire on a wider rim, you know, versus going from a 10 inch rim to a 12 inch rim?
Yes. Yeah, I believe there is. I believe there's a true benefit to that.
Okay.
Here's what happens. I'll use the example of a big tire car because it's just more of a difference, but it's the same thing. When we want to spin the tire on a big tire car, so it's something that runs like a 34 and a half, 17, 16. When we want to spin the tire a little more thick because the track's real good, and we don't, and we need to get some wheel speed, we'll take air out of the tire. Because if you ever look at how the tire sits on the ground, you lay down and look at it, the less air that's in the tire when you let go of the button. It'll actually cup up in the center. The sides of the tire will touch the ground, and the center will kind of cup up.
Okay.
And then the more pressure you add, it pushes the center of the tire down, so you get more contact patch. Well, it's the same thing with a small tire and a wider rim. You're stretching that tire out, so you're creating a bigger contact patch. You're getting less of a bow up in the center of the tire.
Okay.
When you run in a smaller rim, you actually need to run to get a bigger contact patch. You've got to run a little more air to get the center of that tire to push out.
Okay.
So there is a true advantage.
What air pressure do you think would be good on, like, a 10-inch rim and a 12-inch rim?
I don't know the answer to that. I haven't run anything on a 10-inch rim.
Right.
So I don't know the numbers, but I'm going in theory that you'd want to run a little more pressure on it because of how it works and the way it engineering-wise works. But as far as actual pressures, I don't know. And that's why, some people say, my car's got stock cups in it. It does. When you can run a wider rim, it definitely takes an advantage. There's definitely something there for that. To say how much, I don't know. Every car's different. But to answer your question about the air pressure in the tire, the right way to know your air pressure in your tire, to get the perfect air pressure for your combination, your weight, your all that stuff plays effect, the weight, the percentages of weight, the full total weight, to get the right air pressure is really put a camera on the side of the car, a GoPro, and stick it to the fender and watch the rear tire through the run and then play it back in slow motion. And if you watch what the tire does, you can see that you need to add pressure or you need to take pressure away. You can compare that to other data, but that's the true way you're going to get the most accurate air pressure. Anything other than doing that is a guess by anybody.
I guess. Yeah.
So, does that answer that one? That one I have experience with. The first one, the first one about the carburetors, Chris could probably put more input into that than I can give him.
One other question. On a stiff sidewall versus a regular sidewall, and mind y'all speaking on small tires, like 28-10-5 stock suspension cars, but I think you run a stiffer sidewall on a heavier car.
Correct.
And I'm wondering what is the borderline where you can switch from a stiff sidewall to go to a regular sidewall, because I'm thinking on a lighter car, it'd be best to run the softer sidewall. And also, what point do you put tubes in it?
To me, my personal opinion is I'm going to run the stiff sidewall in a tube in any car that I'm trying to 60 foot hard. In a turbo car, for example, and I don't know what they run, where you need to dead hook that, you're kind of like, no, I don't say dead hook the tire, but they can't, they're on a fine line when they try to get after smacking the tire at the hit and then having to lay the power to it. They're on a fine line of controlling that tire at the very early, in the first quarter, second of the run.
Hey, Jim.
If you're on a bad, yes.
I apologize about interrupting you, but we have a very bad knocking, staticky noise on this line, and I know it's irritating the callers because you really can't understand you that well. I don't know if it's coming from the caller that's called in or maybe one of our phones. So, the caller that is speaking, could you go to mute right quick and see if it stopped? I mean, you don't have to hang up, but just go to mute.
Okay, I'm on mute now.
I don't know, it might be on one of our lines. It sounds a whole lot clearer, but it's still a little static. Come off mute, caller. It's real choppy.
I can hear it myself.
I apologize. I'm just trying to find that attic so that the callers can hear that, you know, what we're talking about. It's starting to clear up for some reason. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Marino. I apologize if I interrupted.
All right, that's all right. On a nitrous car where we are, where we're getting after early in the track on a good racetrack, for example, where we're going to hit the tire hard, I want to run a tube, which essentially stiffens up the sidewall additionally, and a stiff sidewall tire. Because I think of the sidewall like stretching a rubber band. You need to stretch it and maintain that stretch and not let it spring back. So a stiffer rubber band is going to, it's going to be harder to stretch, but you can hit it harder without it getting out of control. And then it will eventually, as you run out of power and you're applying all your power, it'll eventually slowly respond and catch up to itself. That softer rubber band, when you let go of the button in the first quarter second, meaning a softer sidewall, gives it, it will actually stretch that tire a lot more, and when it wants it, you got to keep it stretched equally. You want to not stretch it as far, not twist it as far, and control it. And that's where the tube comes in. It's, the tube is all about stiffening up the tire as well. So it's really, again, you can learn a lot with the cameras. You could say, okay, you know, you can take a soft sidewall tire, a non-stiff sidewall, and put a tube in it, it stiffens it up some. You can run a stiff sidewall with no tube, and it's going to be a little different. Really, you know, the key to all that is watching the tire. There's some guys that are really good out there with chassis tuning that are good, really good at that stuff. But that's what it all comes down to. To me, I run a stiff sidewall and a tube as often as I can. If I've got decent power, I'm in a car that I can't stay on the tire, meaning you know, a lower powered small block car or something, where I don't have a lot of spray on it or something like that, then I would probably come away from that idea. But okay, if you've got decent power, a big block on a couple kits, you'd want a stiff sidewall tire and a tube.
Okay. Well, I got some other questions, but I'd rather wait and let somebody else come in. I don't want to hog the show with all my kids.
Well, thank you for calling, sir, and you're welcome to call back in anytime. Hopefully we answered your question. But there is a lot of people with their hands up that want to answer, ask the question. So we appreciate you. Thank you.
I'm going to mute.
Jim, I want to also announce to all the callers, the board is acting up. I had one of the big brothers of the shows to call in and definitely check on it for me, and I want to thank him for that. I want to thank Dog for checking in on the show and letting me know exactly what's going on, troubleshooting everything for me. I tell you, man, he really looked out for old Bread, man. I appreciate that, Dog. With that being said, we're going to tackle, hold on, y'all, we got the champ in here. We got the champ in here. He is finally made it in here. Hold on, folks, I'm getting ready to get him in here. The top sportsman champ has arrived. Uh-oh. Here we go, folks, we're going to get him on here.
The champ is here. Ladies and gentlemen, the heavyweight champion of the world has arrived. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
We have the top sportsman champ, Mr. Dolomite. Yeah.
Boy, you sure know how to make a brother feel good, boy.
Hey, morning time, Dolomite. Dolomite, man.
Good morning,
Dolomite. Good morning, Dolomite. They told me somebody called me and said, you came out your house this morning. You had a big 12-ounce glass sitting on the porch. They saw you come out and take 4 raw eggs, dump it over into the glass, drink it, and started running down the road this morning. Is that true, Dolomite? You've been training that hard for this race this weekend.
I've been training hard, my brother. That sounds pretty cool right there. But, yeah, man, we getting it together, man, and so we can be ready to do our thing this Sunday, no doubt about it. Bet on the line. Okay. It's on the line. And even hung out with your co-host yesterday. Went down and hung out with Jimmy Marino, and he showed me a good time and took care of me down there, too, man. Just want to throw that out there, too.
Yeah, you know, he treats y'all real good, but I ain't got my lobsters yet. I'm just throwing that out there. I ain't got my lobsters yet, but I ain't went off the state line yet either, though. But it's all
hey, Dolomite, you can tell them we weren't cooking them all up. We didn't cook them all up at the show.
No. Yeah, it is what it is, man. But, yeah, I had a good time this weekend, man. I hung out with old Jimmy Marino. He and everything, him and his crew. And let me tell you, not only can Jimmy talk the tips, he can do the tips. I seen that boy putting in work. Showing up, putting in work. But, Redman, I appreciate you, man. I ain't going to hold up your show because I know you got a lot of callers and people trying to. I got a tech tip that I want to ask Jimmy, though. Jimmy, when the oil filters screw up on the block, the two bolts that go into the little aluminum housing on the GM motor that holds the little part that it screwed up on in there, do you have to have a gasket on the backside?
No, I don't think there is a gasket on the backside of it. I think some of the aftermarket ones have an O-ring, but ultimately I think it's kind of a machine fit type deal.
Okay. One other quote related to that same topic. You know how to have the extra little hole on the side with a little spring in it?
Yep.
What do you put on that to... is that silicone you put on it, or a rosin, or what do you put on it to block it off where it all go through the oil hole?
I've never done one. If anything, I'd epoxy it, but call Chris Nelson today, and I can get you. I'll text you his number after the show and ask him.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about. What that is, the bypass hole, so if your filter starts to get clogged, oil will bypass the filter.
Right.
I don't want to tell you wrong. I'd call Chris today and just yell at him on his office line, or I'll give you a cell phone and get the correct advice on that. I don't want to tell you to put something in there that silicone isn't going to do it, though.
Yeah.
I don't believe. I think it needs to be epoxied, but I definitely call
him. Yeah, it's definitely epoxy because the one that came out is hard. You can hit on it. It's hard. It ain't soft like anything else. So okay, well that's what I need to know. So like I said, I'm gonna step on back, and I appreciate that and everything.
All right.
And my boss just walked in, so I'm gonna go on mute for a minute. And I appreciate y'all talking to me.
Okay.
All right.
Good deal.
Thanks, Bread Man.
All right.
Bread Man.
Shuffling.
Dolomite, put your phone on mute, man.
Hey, can you talk to the service street about the warranty difference?
Yes.
When
Dolomite went out of there.
Yeah. Mike, hey, mute Mike, cause he's back there in the background doing a job back there.
Okay, though.
Dolomite, a bread man, can you hear me?
I got you. Come on.
All right, hey bread man, I'm a good morning to you and good morning to Jimmy. And good morning to all the listeners out there. And I want to tell y'all something now. I wasn't going to tell it because doggone whether y'all know it or not, Jimmy giving y'all some damn good kind of secret tips. But like me and Bread Man and Jimmy and all us and Ernie and all us got together, if it helped the little man, we're going to help him. And what I mean by that, though, Jimmy Moreno, I'm going to give him extra props this morning. Not because he's on the phone, because like he said, if he don't know something, you heard what he said, he'll get back with you. But I got a little insight on the air pressure on that 10-inch on the 10-inch rims and the 12-inch rims, Jimmy, if you don't mind me saying it, though.
Okay, absolutely. I'm interested.
Okay, now, Jimmy told y'all the correct thing. He said he didn't know, and everything he said was right. Now, and to be honest with you, as a grill face, I wish he hadn't told y'all, but like he said, we're trying to help everybody. A lot of folks out there, I mean a lot, 80% of the people out there probably thought when you go down on the air pressure, it'd make your tires hook better. But he just told y'all today, when you go up on it, that's what helped you. Now, on the 10-inch rims and the 12-inch rims, what Jimmy said he'd get back with you, I had experience with both of them on the small tire. On a 10-inch rim, and Jimmy already answered it, he just didn't know he answered it, the more you put in there, the better it's going to hook and the better patch it's going to give you. On a 12-inch rim, you can go down a little bit less on a 12-inch rim because it's already spread it out more. But on the 10-inch rims, you can start with, now, this is not nothing, this is not no exact science, but you can start out with 12 pounds, and you'll be damn near in the ballpark on a 12-inch rim. I mean, on a 10-inch rim. You start off with 12 pounds, and on an 11-inch rim, you can get away with 11 and 10 and a half. Now, that's something you can build on, Jimmy, and I'm glad you said what you said because that just shows you how true you is to the game, that you're not trying to mislead nobody. And that's what this show is about, and that's what Breadman is about, and we talked about the integrity of giving these tech tips out to people.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Jimmy, you got a lot more hands just came up. I mean, man, they blowing. I've been, you know, we got Mark. I think he's from Detroit, Michigan, in the house. You coming in. 248-2758. Mike is hot. Welcome to the morning show.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Well, I got a nitrous question here as far as tuning. So you got a nitrous motor here, small block Chevy, and you know for a fact it runs good, say, at 38 degrees timing. So you know that motor runs the best at 38 degrees timing on the motor. Should that be your baseline start when you start to spray it as far as advancing and retarding? Or really don't make a difference once you start hitting it with the nitrous?
Well, it does and it doesn't. If you get in, I always like to leave the motor where it's pretty much where it's happy on motor.
Uh-huh.
Because if you ever get in a situation you want to run it on motor, you know you're in your sweet spot. Most ignition boxes will pull plenty out of the first kit, and you can do a total of 30-something degrees out of a 75-31 box. So you'll never never use up all your retard. So you've got plenty to drop out of it. So I do.
25,
but I've noticed
25
is the max. 25 is the max?
Yeah,
okay,
25.
So if you're at 38 and you pull 25 out, you can go down to 13 degrees total.
Okay.
Is the lowest you can go. Unless you ultimately need to get lower than 13 degrees, then you're fine leaving it there.
Okay.
Hey, before you go, and I'm glad Jimmy said that. See, I told y'all with different people on, and Jimmy, I'm going to ask this question because I want to know, too, because I didn't heard it. But since you said it like that, and you must have known some about it, they tell me the less you have to take out that box, the better chance you got of making it. Is that right?
No, because, and this is why I say that, is because we'll use, I like being able to pull, leaving my base timing where it's happy, because I can use the on delay feature in there, and when I need to strike the tire a little harder, I can use on delay, and a lot of people don't use this, I can use the on delay to allow it to strike the tire as it ramps the retard out. So it'll go from, say you're going to go pull 10 degrees out on your first kick, it's a pretty hefty kit, and you got a really good racetrack, you can use 0.05 of on delay to go from the 0 to 10 degrees of retard, and it'll actually, at the initial let go of the button, it won't pull all 10 degrees initially. It'll be a steady ramp from 0 to 10 of retard over 0.05 of a second. When you do that, it'll actually strike the tire harder. If you're trying to get wheel speed, you can use that as a tool to do that. I'm not usually afraid of pulling big numbers out, personally. It really doesn't bother me all that much. 38 high on a small block, you know, I mean, that's probably is where it's happy. But, you know, you may want to come down to 35 or something, but you don't have to, depending on how much spray you have in it. Those boxes are good enough, and they pull it out fast enough, and consistent enough that I've never seen an issue with it.
Okay, so
and most of the guys I do, those are the guys I mess with and stuff like that. They'll get in a situation, they'll run on motor, you know, for a grudge race, and they don't want to have to go back down and reset the base timing.
Okay. So basically, where the motor is at, happy on motor, say if it's 34 degree total timing on motor, and you know that motor runs faster than 34 degrees of timing, can you use that as a baseline as far as advancing and retarding when you go to spray it?
Yes.
Should you leave it at the 34? If that's where the motor's happy? Okay.
Yeah. I like to leave it where it's happy. The other thing is when you get into cooler conditions, you run into a nighttime situation. I know we see this in the cooler months of the year where, and it's usually bigger motors, and I'll explain why, with sheet metal intakes, will stumble. When they go to get on the brake, they'll stumble. And what that is it's carburetor signal. It's losing carburetor signal. The more timing you have in your base, will help keep that stumble out of it in cooler conditions. So when we get our cooler months, you'll see more and more of that where people are blowing the hood scoops off and stuff like that, where the car starts to, so they get on the trans brake, they roll in the throttle, and the car stumbles. If they let go of that button, as that motor's stumbling, it's going to pop in the manifold, and we get a hell of a mess.
Okay.
So that timing will help avoid that in those conditions as well.
Okay, that'll work. That's basically the question I had. I have one more question about a transmission question, actually about a converter. Say if you got a, hypothetically, you got a car making 1,000 horsepower and you got a, say, a 3-speed in it, a turbo 350 in it, and you switch over to a power glide, do you recommend configuring the converter to match up with that power glide, or can you just basically put the same converter in the power glide that you had in the 350?
I would start with the same converter. I'd start right with what you have and get data and see where you're at. Usually, we've run some with a power glide and gone to a 400 2-speed and changed first gear and not really changed it. Sometimes you got to loosen it. When you do that, you went from probably a 210 first gear to a 180 first gear. You may have to loosen up the early part of the converter, but the only way to know is to run it and get data and give that data to your converter guy. The thing is, if you made that transmission change and you said, Mr. Converter guy, I'm making this change, and here's the converter back, I want you to modify it to work with what I'm doing. Ultimately, any converter guy who's really being honest with you will tell you, okay, I'm going to use my knowledge and my best guess, and I stress the word guess, to get you where I think you need to be. But it is a guess until you hand them data, meaning dry shaft, G-meter. When they can look at raceback data, then now they've got facts, not guesses. Handing them a converter and data, real, true data, they can do something with that. If you hand them a converter and tell them this is what I think, then they're guessing.
Okay, I got you. Okay, I appreciate it. That kind of answers all my questions.
Hey,
no problem.
Thank you for calling, Mark. What do you say you're calling out of, Mark?
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit. Man, hey, much love for y'all up there, man. Appreciate you.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Jim, you got blue hands all up down the board now. Wow. Let me get to the next one here. 313-5727. Welcome to the morning show.
Just calling in. Listening.
Yes. Just calling in, listening?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well, thank you for calling. We thought you had a tech question or something to say to any one of the legend dog or me, Bread Man, or Jimmy. No problem, but thank you for listening. Going
thank
back
you,
to
sir.
You. 678-2944. Your mic is hot. Good morning.
Greetings and salutations, Brother Brett.
Good morning,
how
sir.
You,
how
sir?
Are you?
I'm it's very fine. Well. I'm it's very fine. Well. This is Schoolboy out of College Park, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Miss Marino, good morning. Dog, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, bro?
I'm all right. I'm good. I was going to speak to Dolomite on where he can find that pad for the oil filter. You know, they actually sell a bypass out of Competition Products in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I'd have to get the website up, which is competitionproducts.com. But what he's trying to do, he can get, I think they make it. It's just a little plug that he put in the bypass, and it's, you know, what, $15, $16, which, you know, if he's got a machine shop or whatever, he could probably do it himself, you know, with that bypass. But, I mean, that's fairly easy.
Well, yep.
So if he wanted to buy one, he could get one one way or the other, but...
text me that part number, and I'll get it to him.
I would think you may know. I'm not an engine guy. To me, and this has always been my theory, is engines are a specialty. Man, the best engine guys in the world may not know how to tune one, but they can build one. You know, or vice versa, or maybe they can do both. Some can do both. But I don't build engines because I know I got one, a guy that can do it, has a heck of a lot more experience than I do, so I don't get into them. Sliding pistons in them at the racetrack and all that, I'm all into that. I got no problem with that. But, you know, build them, I don't. But what I'm guessing, and I don't know this for a fact, some of you may know more about this, so I got a tech tip from you I need from you, is could you take that bypass hole, remove the bypass, take a tap it, and put a pipe thread plug in it with some lockback.
That is pretty much how Competition Products does it, so that they, you know, it's either they can do it or you can buy it either way. But all it is just a like a quarter-inch national pipe thread plug that goes into the bypass, and that's what they do. And they're actually charging you for that. You know, it's just, and if you're an engine builder, you know that, you know, the pad for the canister filter, for the oil filter, it just comes right off. But, you know, if Dolomite sees that, you know, it's nothing to fix it. It's very, very easy to fix. But people are going to sell these things for, you know, whatever they think they can get a price on. But it's just very much cheaper to get it yourself and make it, you know, and it doesn't hurt anything because all you're doing is stopping the bypass so all your oil goes into the filter so you don't have to clean up in case of catastrophic failure as much because all the metal will go into the oil instead of going back into the motor. And I also have, I wanted to segue into a question myself, Jimmy, and I'm not sure if you know this or not. I'm attempting to run 7.0 in 2014. And I'm testing my car, and I have a turbo 350 transbrake because I have a turbo 350 transmission. And when I press my button on my brake, and I go to mat it, it seems to want to take off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not locking up. And
if you put the car in reverse.
The band's slipping, Jimmy.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. Does it go in reverse fine?
Well, you can either put it in reverse or you can hit the button to go in reverse. Either way.
And you have no problems in reverse?
No, I don't. But not at all.
Yeah, it sounds like the band's slipping. The band is basically what locks your first gear. The band holds the drum and holds it in first gear. Correct, Doug?
Yep, you did right. You're right, Jimmy. You're right. Okay. It ain't about the band.
The band holds the drum, which holds it in first gear. If you hit the trans brake, it's not able to hold.
Right.
And it's probably burnt, or there could be something wrong with the drum. I've seen drum
issues. I was just going to say that. Instead of Jimmy going into a long, drawn-out thing, that's the first indication that you need to go get it rebid. It's going to go out on you.
Okay, let me ask you this. Now, it'll do that in the first part, you know, if I do that. But I've also read that, you know, they'll go into that you had to prime a 350 trans brake up for some reason, and I have no idea. But when I leave and I come back, you know, and I'm testing it, it'll take off. I come back and apply the trans brake, then it'll hold like it's losing pressure or something. It's
okay. I've got one for this. I know exactly what he's talking about.
I do too, Chloe. I know, Jimmy. You're right.
I just went through this. We're just like everyone, a lot of other people out there testing these two-speed 400s. And there is something that we've learned. In a power glide, the passage from the trans brake solenoid to the actual, what do they call that piece that actually applies the trans brake, is fairly short, a short distance. In a 400, and I'm assuming a 350 is the same, there's a longer distance. So when you push a trans brake, it takes some time for the fluid to actually get there and build pressure. Take the
Jimmy,
volume
you're a genius.
Of fluid
That's
to get
exactly
there.
What's happening. That's, you're a genius. That's exactly what it is. And I ain't trying to break in on Jimmy, but he did right. You have to get more RPMs to make it work. But there's still a sign that something's going wrong, though.
Yes, it is. So we went through a few different valve bodies trying to get this resolved, and they actually opened up in ours. They learned that we need to open up that passage and allow it to apply faster.
Jimmy, you're right again. And like I said, I'm not a transmission man, but I know about transmission because when I go do something, I look at them. They got a little ball where they block off some passages and don't let the fluid go. You can remove that ball that goes into that passage, and that'll help you out too.
Okay. All right. Well, we went through this. We went through three or four transmissions having this problem. We lost a couple local races playing around with this where we couldn't get the tranny to hold. We finally got to where we could pump it up. We could hold it before we staged the car, and it was a mess. So we finally got our tranny guy, and he got it straightened out, and we're good now. But we just went through this mess this year with kind of the same thing. So it's definitely something you want to get the tranny to your tranny guy, explain to him what's going on. And if he hasn't seen this before, there's plenty of other transmission guys he can reach out to and get some information to help him understand more what's going on. My training guy actually reached out to Mark Mickey at M&M Performance because they've been doing the 400 stuff for a long time, and that's where he got his information of exactly what he had to do to fix our problem. So those guys know each other in the business, and they just, you know, they'll share some information at least. They won't give all the trade secrets away, but they'll care enough to keep the other guys going.
Okay, well that sounds wonderful. I'll get in touch with my transmission man. Dog, I appreciate it. Jimmy, I appreciate it. Brad, man,
no problem.
I'll give you that information. I'll send it to you.
But thank you, and thanks for your questions. I'm sure there's others out there that are you know, in this same situation that, you know, heard that, and definitely, you know, you can also look at your transmission as well. So. With that being said, okay. JT, thank you for calling in. We're going to click it back over.
All right, going back to me.
Thank you. Going to the next caller, fellas. Good God, everybody. 727-3194. Welcome to the Bread Man one-time show.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Just wanted to call in and touch base with you. Chris Nelson out of Pinellas Park, Florida.
Hey, Chris Nelson, what's going on?
Every, everything sounds spot on. You guys seem like you're giving the racing community a big help with some of their questions and resolving some issues. I like what I hear.
Well, let me ask you one thing, Chris, before you go. Is you the best engine man in the world?
No, sir. There's a lot of good engine guys out there. I'd just like to think that my shop's one of them as well.
All right, there y'all have it. Ain't nothing wrong with a man saying he good, and I know doggone really good. This dog got him, Chris. I'm just messing with you.
How are you, sir?
Hey, Chris, Dolomay had a question on. I told him to call you at the shop later about the bypass on the on that mounting pad that goes on a big block Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I know you make your own billet piece that you can sell that doesn't have a bypass.
Absolutely, and I heard the conversation. I was on
that.
The line holding. And that was some good information that the guy's coming out of Georgia, and he had for him as well, that inexpensive piece, which is a reproduction of a stock screw-on filter adapter, and they put a quarter-inch pipe plug in there. It was very accurate information. We also we have some CNC equipment in-house that we make machine some on, and we've added a couple features, which is, like a radius inlet on there, as well as an O-ring seal against the block, and we also relieve an area where the extra, like a dry sump pump would, pump oil into that block at that point, like on a Merlin or a World Products or a Dart block. So it's a bolt-on piece that needs no modifying after the fact. That's $29. So you got some very good information. You can modify it yourself with just simply tapping and putting quarter-inch pipe threads in there. Or you can buy stuff at many places already ready to bolt on. So, yeah, that was good information. And he was accurate about, running all the oil through the filter so you don't get any contaminants in the engine. So that's very good information.
I think we got Dolomite in here. Dolomite.
Yeah, I'm right here. Mr. Nelson, I need one of those because I got to replace that piece out. And,
okay.
If you got something that's already ready to go, I can just, bolt on to the one I got, because I already got the piece that the filter screw on. I already got that, because I work at a GM dealer, and the same part number is the same part number the one that came out. The stock one looked pretty good. So,
Yep, we can shoot you one over to you. Just give us your address, and we can, have one in. If you're in the Florida, Georgia area, where, it's a day on the ground, it's in freight, not too bad.
Right. Yeah, I'm right here.
But no, that's absolutely the way you want to have it, run all the oil through the filter. And a lot of these more expensive filters, they'll have their own bypass system built into the filter once it's gone through the element. So that's a very, very wise way to go about it.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate it. I'll be giving you a call. Okay.
Hey, I'm new to this thing, and I just now started listening to this program, and I hear you talking about all this good stuff about this guy, Chris Nelson. How can I get a hold to him? How can I contact Chris Nelson?
The easiest way to reach us would either be through our main line at the shop, which would be area code 727-321-5756. Or you can also find some contact information on our website at nelsoncompetition.com. And what our niche is, we specialize in kind of the heads-up and grudge type of power adder engines. That's really what our specialty is.
All right, guys, there y'all got it out there. If you didn't know, you just heard it from Mr. Chris Nelson himself.
As far as a little bit of a short race recap this weekend, we were at the EOPM race in Dinwiddie, Virginia, and had some guys qualify and run well. Customer Chris Patrick, he ran his personal best. He went 384.197 with the nitrous motor of ours. And another new customer to us, Robert Randy Weatherford, he went 385.196. So there are some really strong racing. The top 13 cars of the 16-car field were all in the three-second zone. And there was some real, real tough racing, which Robert Patrick ended up winning the race against Chris Reaney in the final. So it was some real good racing, tough competition, and some pretty good results for us as well. We got to learn some new stuff and try some things and
You know, with Chris Patrick, we had some new tune-up stuff we were trying, and it reflected with the 197-mile-an-hour trap speed. So that was fun and exciting for me, and keeps me interested and going, and, you know, keep it alive.
All right, Chris, I'll be calling you a little later for my tech tips.
Can't share all too many secrets, but whatever we get out the door is going to be the best thing I know at the moment. So I don't really share in between tune-up stuff for other customers, but, you know, if you get something from us, it's going to be as up-to-date as possible for what we know.
Yeah, but now, Jimmy Moreno, you see why they scared of you now.
Well, what
I'm glad somebody heard what I did say.
I was saying what I need to do. I'm scared to say where my motor is right now. And good God Almighty, they might not run me. They might treat me like Jimmy.
Now, what you don't know is you may be running another one of my children. I don't know.
You know what's up. They don't find
me,
out.
And you know me, they wouldn't even know. So I'm one of those guys that I learned real early on. I got some good advice. Keep your mouth shut, or you'll end up with one customer. So that's how I play it. I keep everything reserved to myself and, you know, let everybody else work it out of the track. I stay out of all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, with that being said, we have one other hand up that might want a tech tip. I don't know if we already got him. I've got so many up. 770-2657. 770-2657.
It's me again, Brett.
Oh.
A question back to the stock suspension stuff versus, like on a Mustang, stock suspension versus a true stock suspension. Another caller just called and asked me to find out about it. Is there a benefit to having, let's just use a Mustang, for example, a Mustang with coilovers versus the factory settings? Is there a lot more benefit? Because you can still get double adjustable shocks on a stock setting Mustang versus one where you mini tub it, put coilovers on.
Usually what I see is it's just easier to work on the car by putting the coilover set up and moving the shock in, because when you go to put a bigger rim and tire on there, that stock shock location becomes a problem. Especially when you put the coilover spring on it in the stock location, you can only fit so much tire on it before you start rubbing that spring. So it's more of a locational thing.
Hey, not to cut y'all off, the caller that's talking now, where you calling from? Because they said it was a Tavo that was messing up. And I noticed now when you called back and then started talking, that static came back. Where you calling from?
I'm in Atlanta, dog. I can go to mute. I just got to ask you one. Just main thing is, do you feel you can accomplish the same 60-foot or the same results with either or? And I'm going to mute.
I think we can. I think I can. If you have a good shock, an equal shock in either location, I believe it can be accomplished either way.
Okay, that is my question. I will relay the information.
It's back. It went back out. Next caller, 678-0758. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the morning show.
What's going on, dog? Bree, everybody?
What's going on, Chief?
That's all right.
Hey, I got a question. I got a buddy want to know that what's the difference, you think, the both cars equal going from a standard 28 to a 28W in EQI?
Ooh. I don't have an answer for that.
Say that question again.
I'm saying if both cars equal, you one car on 28 and the other one on 28W, you think you're giving up any advantage?
Whoever asked you that question is a dumbass. There ain't no damn advantage in that, to be honest with you. If you got a 28 tie and it's hooking up, see, a lot of people get the misconception now. Unless you got a hell of a tuner and you're on a fine line. Now, Jimmy can back me up this here. If you got a 28W or a 28, it don't really make that much difference if both tires are hooking up, unless you got a tuner that can always make the, I'm going to say bigger, maybe a wider tire do a little bit more. But down here, what we playing with, if you're on a 28, what we playing with, I'm saying we now, as the common people, I don't think you're gonna see no difference.
So if you own 28 and somebody got 28W, that wouldn't make you think about it?
No, it wouldn't make me think one inch about it. Not 1 minute. No. Now Jimmy can say something else, and we might can segue into something else that we might can pick out. But just me, and I'll tell you later on. I'll say it later on if Jimmy don't come up with something. But I wouldn't give a damn if he got a 28W or whatever. I wouldn't give a damn.
I would agree. And here's something everyone's got to think about is, and I'll give a little secret away. When I get into this personal experience thing, but you can have too much tire. That's what everyone needs to remember. There is such thing as too much tire, and it's quite common. You need to work with the tire that works best in your application. That's not just saying that, that's the truth. For example, and I'm going to throw something out there to the top sportsmen out there. We, with experience, in when we had a 484 motor in one of our cars, could easily run faster consistently with a 33 10.5W than we could with a big tire. And I'm talking consistently. We could go to any racetrack and go faster. We could switch tires back and forth and go faster on the 33 10.5W than we could on the 34.5 1760. And that's a fact. I mean, that's from personal experience. Now, some guys get nervous about it because they don't want to spin the tires, but if you tune to the tire, you can have too much tire and slow you down. Now, the difference between a W and a regular 28, it can also be true there because you're going to go throw a wider tire on, you're going to get more bite early. It could cause you to want a wheel stand. It can change what your car's doing. If you tuned to both, I can't say it isn't just a simple swap of the tire.
Right.
It depends on if your car is lacking some traction. I would think your car would be better on the W. If your car is one of those cars that's a dead hook in the tire, then driving up on it, then you may think it's lacking traction, but it could actually be gaining too much traction,
I told you, if you got a good tuner, it ain't gonna make no difference. But Jimmy trying to be nice and tell y'all in a roundabout way.
But why everybody want to stick a W upon their car if they can fit one? Instead of running down to 28 or down to 29.
It's no different than, and Chris sees this just as much as anybody, and you can go to the ADRL races with some of the highest budget teams in the world that are running these cars, and a guy goes fast with anything. He could go fast with pink wheelie bars on his car. And if he goes and sets number one qualifier with pink wheelie bars,
everybody won't
race, there's going to be 10 guns with pink wheelie bars. I'm telling you.
Right.
It's going to happen. You get beat by a guy with W's, you got 28s, and you're going to go back to fifth, and some guys are going to start talking, they're going to say, we lost that race because we didn't have W's, and they're going to go put
right.
them on.
Now I'm going to tell you something, since we talking small ball now, and we ain't talking about the professional guy, we talking small ball guys, regular everyday guys. You come out better if you already got a 28 tie. You come out better because if some of these races, if you go there and the guys start hollering out, well, we ain't letting no W's in, well, now you got to go buy a whole other set of tires just to get in the W class. So just like Jimmy said, if you got a tuner that know what he's doing and you know what you're doing, it ain't no damn difference, to be honest with you.
I agree.
All right. I got another question.
I think having the correct sidewall is 100 times more important than having that W tire.
And also,
sidewall,
you know, you can always make them a little stiffer if you got a tube in them there.
Yep,
right,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. And I got another question about the nitrous. What do y'all think, a 35 nitrous jetty, how much do you think it is?
On what motor?
A small block. It says, I believe it's an NX nitrous. 35 nitrous jet.
Here's the thing is, whenever someone asks me about how much am I spraying, you'll always get the answer to me from me in a jet number.
Because
reason why I asked because like.
Let Jimmy answer it for your profession, and then I'm gonna dumb it down to you where you can understand it.
I'll always answer you in a jet number, and the reason I always answer you in a jet number because you could have two big block Chevrolets with the same cylinder heads and everything else the same, and you can put the same jetting in them, and a difference in cam will allow a motor to pick up more on that same nitrous jet. You know, it may make 300 horse on this motor that's identically built than this other motor next to it that only picks up 250 horse on that kit, for example.
Right, yeah.
And the difference is...
small block four, though.
Yeah, but camshaft, what camshaft, and
right.
I'm not a camshaft expert, can change how much it's going to pick up. So the only real answer to that is, the only way to know is if a 35 jet on your motor, how much is it going to pick up? The only thing it can tell you the truth to that is a dyno. But
right.
all those advertised numbers are averages, just like all the other stuff on their charts.
Jimmy didn't give you profession. Like, let me give you the dumb answer. Let me give you the dumb answer.
Like,
the best way you can try to gauge that is just the dumb answer, and I hope I ain't taking over the show. I mean, I hope Jimmy don't mind me saying this kind of stuff. But you got to figure, like I said, how strong your motor is on horsepower. The stronger it is on horsepower, the less the nitrous is going to help you. Put it that way.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, because it basically like just say you want to go from like a 35 jet, the next jet in there like a 41. You want to know like how big of a change that is. You know what I mean?
I can tell you if I went from a 35 to a 41, it's going to be a huge difference. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Now here's something y'all got to recognize. If you change from a 30, let's use some small numbers. Let's say you've got a 28 jet in now and you go to a 30 jet. That's only two numbers, right?
Right.
That difference may be let's call it 30 horsepower. Let's just say out of dyno came out to 30 horsepower. And you only change two jet numbers. If you got a 36 in there and you go to a 38 jet,
right.
the difference there is going to be a lot bigger than going from a 28 to a 30. And the reason
right.
is the area, the open area of jet. Is
Jimmy.
The larger jet you go, one number makes a big difference. When you
Jimmy,
start
you're a damn
bigger
genius.
Jet.
But a lot of people don't understand that. And Jimmy, let me ask you a question that I think I know the answer, but I want to reconfirm. Also, does different nitrous companies make a difference too? Because some jets flow true. Say, for instance, you got a jet that says rated at 100, but you got another company that jet rated at 100. It might be 120,
right.
115. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's going to be very different. It's going to be very different. It has to do with novel flow and all kinds of other stuff.
And you're right, dog, because it, like one chart may say it's say 350, and another chart might say it's 300 or 400 or something. You know, I mean, that's why he really wants jet no. So
well, now, if y'all
listen
to Jimmy, he told y'all all this is just baseline stuff. It's testing. You
right.
got to go out there and tune it. Like I said, it
right.
might advertise 100, and you might go out there and make 150. It might advertise 100, don't make 75. All this is testing, and like I said, Jimmy is a tuner. That's what he gets paid to do. That's his job to go out there and go through them hard steps that we ask these hard questions on. But ain't nothing wrong with y'all if you want to experiment on your own.
Right.
And here's the thing you gotta remember. It's something. If somebody tells you you got a small block Ford or whatever you got, and they say, man, I wouldn't spray more than 400 on it.
Right.
They're wrong. And they don't know if they say that. Because you tune your motor, and your motor will, if you look at the feedback it's given you by reading plugs, by looking at data, mile an hour, looking at all the things that are happening surrounding that motor and tune to it. One small block board may take 600 and live for a year and freshen it up after 100 runs, and you're going to put rods in it, you're going to freshen up and never hurt it. Another one, you may spray 400 on it and it burns up every 15 passes and you can't get it right.
Right.
Every three passes. There isn't, it all depends. All those numbers mean nothing. You need to take the true feedback that your combination is giving you, the information it gives you. Don't ignore that.
Plus a little luck.
I tell everyone that. You got to read
luck,
what
Jimmy.
It tells you.
Jimmy, plus some luck.
What's that?
plus some luck too.
Yeah, some luck too. Some luck too helps, but I like to think of it as experience. No, a little luck definitely helps, but that's the bottom line is your combination, when you do something, it's going to give you feedback. The guys that hurt a lot of parts are usually the guys that aren't looking or more importantly, ignoring that feedback because they think that they should be following someone else's advice and not taking the feedback that the combination is giving you. You got to look at what it's telling you and work off of that. It may be something crazy. Your motor may like a 2J because of whatever factors. You may need a 2J spread it, and I've never seen this, a 2J spread at 8 pounds of fuel pressure. But if that's the feedback your combination is giving you, that's what it needs. It might be off the wall, but that's what it needs. If it needs a 15J spread at 4.5 pounds of fuel pressure, and it's telling you, and you keep tuning and tuning, and it's telling you that's where it's happy, well, by God, that's where it's happy. And you need to listen to that.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. But so really, you couldn't really say, if you had to say what 350, I mean, what a 35 jet is, though. If you just really had to say.
No. I don't know.
No.
I really don't. I really don't.
If you got a 35 jet, wherever the company you bought it from, it should have came with a chart. Like I said, that's only the guideline.
Said,
now, you take that same 35 jet and go to somebody else's stuff and put it in there, it might work totally different. But what Jimmy is basically telling you, it don't make no difference if it's a 35 jet, a 45 jet, or a 100 jet. You still got to tune it to your motor.
Yeah.
You got to experiment with your motor. That's what he's basically trying to tell you. You just can't just go out
and
there and
do
it.
And
you automatically
going to
get that chart set.
Believe it or not, torque converter has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, he just didn't want to change from one jet to he felt like, no, he didn't want to make no big change from like a 35 to a 41, you know, because he made it think like the 35 ain't really what it really is. You know what I mean? What the chart say, you know what I mean? So I believe the chart says something like
it. Like it probably isn't. It probably isn't. But really, is there something that says he can only add 350 or he has to add 350? What is this? What is sticking to that number? If the motor's happy and we're trying to win grudge races is what we're talking about. And we're trying to, you know, I mean, if the motor is completely happy spraying 400 or 450 and it's not hurting itself, then why be opposed? Why spray 350?
Mm.
Yeah. Is it going to, if it's happy, it's not going to live any shorter life with more nitrous going through it. I don't believe it'll shorten the life cycle between spraying a little more nitrous or not if the motor and the tune-up is happy. It'll live. You know, we've sprayed, you know, my personal stuff. We sprayed quite a bit to it and you know, 800-900 to it. And it, if I can go 85 runs and take it back to my engine builder and say, all right, it's time to freshen it up. And he freshens it up and does it matter whether I was spraying 500 or 800? I still didn't spend any more money repairing it. And I, you know, at 800, obviously, with bigger jet, I'm going to go a little faster most of the time. Plus, you got other factors, converters and stuff like that that could not allow you to pick up. But, you know, so I think the whole thing about picking and horsepowers of what they want, what you want, you really got to read your plugs.
Hey, Brian, can I do a segue to my show? Can I do a segue?
Well, hey, hold on a minute. Oh, we got a lot more callers. Caller, Candyman, did he answer your question? We want to
let others. Yeah, he good.
All right, then. Yes, sir. Hold on. Let me get my next caller in. I know he's going to slap my head. Caller, this caller right here is one of the renowned promoters, one of the baddest drivers that we have that travel the world. And you know he's a well known icon in the grudge world, fellas, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to welcome to the show the one and only Atlanta's finest, Mike Hill. Welcome to the show, Mike Hill. How can we help you this morning on the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino and the Dog Show?
What up, Brett? What up, Brett, man?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Nothing much.
What's going on, fellas? I was just listening in, Brett, man. You know, listening to the show today. But I wanted to kind of disagree with Dog and Jimmy a little bit on that 28 thing, but I called earlier. But
go ahead. That's what the show here for.
Just because of the simple reason of how the guy asked the question, and to me, how he asked the question was if you got two equal cars, you know, which is hard, which is pretty much impossible to do. But if you got two equal cars, I definitely think, and you're on a marginal racetrack, I definitely think that
he didn't say you was on a marginal racetrack.
But he said equal cars too.
Okay, equal cars though. But see, I'm trying to say though, what you're doing is bringing is another addition to it. He just said two equal cars. He didn't say whether it was on a marginal track or not. But now, since you want to say it like that, you're gonna say that Debbie is better. But in the same token, okay, what if that Debbie is on a 10-inch rim? And then, okay, I can go get me a 12-inch rim and put that 28 on there, and then I got the same pattern he got.
All right. So what if the man got a W? You got a 14-inch wheel.
Okay, you got a point there. If see, Mike, and not the argument, but that's good though. See,
oh no, I know.
No, what I'm saying is that. See, them a whole. That's a what we asking him in that particular thing. Now we can keep on and keep on and keep on adding different
exactly.
questions in different situations. Then he's gonna call for different answers.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables to that, you know. So. And that was all, but I was just, like I said, I had a little difference there, but that means I'm listening, and Brad, man, I think you're doing a good job at giving a lot of people knowledge in the racing.
Well, hey, Mike, thank you for getting on. I appreciate knowing that guys like you are listening.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, but Jimmy, go ahead and stand up. Jimmy, go ahead and fight. Don't let Mike scare you. We answered that one situation. Now, if the man had asked the situation, Mike just answered whether it was a marginal track. Everybody know, and that's another secret. The worse of the track is, the more patch, the bigger the patch you got, the better you're going to be.
Absolutely. And that was the one point I was trying to make was you can have too much tire, you can have too little tire, you need the right amount of tire. And depending on the situation – and what your car is and everything else, you can get the perfect tire, you know. Just like I was saying, I gave a top sportsman example where we could go and run fast on a 10.5 tire, but if we got on a really marginal, we'll call it marginal, or bad racetrack, there's no doubt in the world that we could go right down with a big tire where we might not be able to on a 10.5. That situation is definitely true. And we always kept a set of big tires in the trailer for that reason.
Well, I mean, just like you just stated, though, I mean, it's the same scenario for the small tire. If you notice, when 10.5 got faster, when 10.5 cars really got fast, it was like two or three elements. And one was everybody started going to 14, actually 16-inch wide wheels, which spread the tire out a bunch, got the sidewall a lot better. And then Mickey went to the 16-inch diameter. All that made the tire that much better. You know, and everybody started going a lot faster.
Yep. And at the same time, ignition box technology was growing.
Oh, yeah. Still doing it.
Oh, yeah. Still doing it. And the more you give guys like Mike Hill or me or any Dog or anyone else ability to fine-tune, you know, and all these other tuners in the world, the more ability you give them to fine-tune and control what the car is doing, And that's all we're doing is control, trying to control and not follow along, but lead. And that is going to make you go faster and faster. That's why you see a lot of what's going on.
Well, we do have other callers. Mike, you can hang in here and listen in. And, you know, we'd love to have you, you know, key in or whatever. We all in this thing together. We do have another caller right quick, and then we're going to get to our next segment. I hope the champ ain't got scared hearing your voice on the phone. He's still on there, though. He ain't went nowhere, and his mic is open, and he ain't said nothing. But let me grab this other caller. 678-9053. Welcome to the morning show. How can we help you? Hello? Hello? Yeah, Lee, y'all don't scare my folks off.
Don't beg them, man. Don't beg them. If they ain't ready to talk, dog, you say you got some more callers, put them on there.
Who would the tell? Who would the tell, Brad, man? Who would the tell?
You talking about Dolomite. Now, hey, Dolomite should have been down there this week, though, because I ain't going to say nothing.
Well, all I'm going to say, I got this song specifically for Dolomite on the morning show, and I got to play it for him because he is the champ, and he wanted me to play this for Stone Cold. Here we go. This is a commercial break, but yet it is a breath of fresh air for Dolomite, the champ.
Top, hand the rest of these flies out so these knuckleheads can stop taking drugs, all right? See you later.
Y'all know who that is. Dolomite say he bad.
Now you need to find him a going home ceremony song for after Sunday when Sunday gone.
Hey, Brad, man, to be honest with you though, that was the damn weakest ass sign of shit I heard. I ain't even hear shit.
Hey, come on, man. Y'all come on. Hey, I guess we'll play this right here. If he was to go home, he done got the message. But we all can go home on this hill, but y'all know the truth behind it. But Dolomite, right now, right, I ain't gonna even play that Dolomite because you are still the champ in the face of top sportsmen, and you know what I mean? All they need to do is get out there and do what y'all do.
In the jungle deep, the lion stepped on the signified monkey feet. The monkey said, mother, can't you see? Wait on, Dolomite.
Where you at, Dolomite? Good God Almighty. He on here.
Hey, he heard Mike here come on the phone. He ran. Where you think he is?
I'm right here.
There you go.
I'm right
Dolomite,
here.
What you got to say about this weekend, Dolomite?
All I gotta say this weekend, man, that I'm coming with my A game. That's all I can say.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Dolomite, you in your office by yourself, Dolomite?
Huh?
You in your office by yourself?
Yeah, but I got some people about to come in, so that's
okay,
why I'm trying to
I was gonna do it way down in the jungle deep.
Yeah.
Well, I hate you ain't gonna be able to fight, but I do gotta get, you know, a contender in here somewhere. I'm waiting on him to key in. Stone Cold and Nephew.
Man.
I wanted to get. Yes, sir.
You got a track and trailer.
Do I have a track and trailer?
Becky wants you to pull a Dolomite out of them bushes.
Oh, Mike, you know I do, Mike. You know I got one. What I need to do with it?
Bring it to Montgomery, son. I'm going to let you ride some Dolomite to the finish line.
Good God Almighty.
Dolomite. Come next Monday, he's still going to be playing the champ is here. And it's going to be Dolomite.
Wow.
I'm coming.
Hey, do us a favor. Bring Bobby Wild Child out of Albany with you. Come through that. Fly through there and bring Bobby Wild Child with you.
Well, shit. Y'all going to be able to patch up and run him, too, after I'm done?
Man, we're not. You, Bobby Wild Child, Walter Man. You can get Walter Man and bring all three.
I just dialed text. Bobby Child said, y'all keep talking that shit. If he can clear his damn schedule. He might be the second somebody in the game.
Well, y'all just said something I'd like to hear. Mike, I appreciate that. And I'm not going to let me ask is what I hear, what you just said, that if Bobby comes to the race, and you were to win the belt, you going to give him a shot the same day?
Shit, I don't see no reason why not. I mean,
And same goes for Dolomite, both sides. Man, the whole point, and this is something I was trying to make, you know, when I was talking about the belt and all that, is the whole point of the belt to promote racing and get more racing off. And if we were to get our hands on it, I tell you, the first thing we're going to do is offer it up to anybody at any time, any place that we're at the racetrack. Just walk up and ask for a shot. You got it. And that's how I feel. And, you know, obviously there's some limitations to that, and everyone's got them. But for the most part, you know, it's a competitive group of guys that are going to fight for this belt within the way it is now. And, man, everyone should be able to get a shot. If they need two or three shots, let them try. All they can do is somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. And that's it.
Damn, I thought that was Jimmy Moreno. That sounded like Pro Stock Joe.
That's actually how I feel about it.
Hey, no, man, I just threw some humor in there. I'm going on mute.
Mike.
Dude.
Mike, I just got a text in from Chris Patrick. It reads, can he get some action in Montgomery? Yes or no?
Him, yes, we'll be there Friday. We'll be there Friday. Tell him any man that can't cut an old nothing like that actually any day of the week.
Oh, you didn't just do that. You didn't just do that.
Oh no, Mike. Hey, this is going to be good. Call the show. I'm putting on here. Call the show. I can't relay them back messages there. Call the show. Chris Patrick, call the show. It's on now. It's on.
Oh, you thought Mike was scared of Chris Patrick or something? You thought he was going to say no, didn't you?
Oh, no. Y'all don't know. It's a lot go on without the phone. You know what I mean? It's a lot go on we don't talk about. You know that. You know that, Uncle Dog. You know that now.
It's a lot going on.
So, that's just that's been going on a long time right there. It's about time it's getting ready to get. I don't know if it's gonna go down at Mike's race in October, which, you know, I know Chris did tell me he's standing up out of the woods and you know ain't nobody
coming.
That ain't
the one that just beat Chris Wheaton.
No.
Robert Patrick.
No, that's Robert Patrick.
Yeah. Chris had the wheelers up in Atlanta. That's the guy Ant Boone worked with, dog. Ant Boone worked with him with his Pro Mark car.
He'd do good to cut a one something like that.
He got a 69 around there. I gotta give him credit. He running damn good now. He running damn good now. He just can't see the tree.
Well, see, he got to run 350 to beat a 420 car.
Hold on 1 minute. Y'all hit the one button. Y'all hit the one button. Hold on a minute. I'm going to make sure they in here. There they go. Hold on, y'all.
Let me... shit.
Wait, hit the one button. Phone it. Hit the one button. He got Chris on. There we go. I see you. 678-3604. Welcome to the morning show.
What's going on, Brett?
Nothing much. ABP in the house. Do you got our
I think
big
I heard what I needed to hear. I think I heard Mike say he read about them bushes and play.
Bushes? Yeah. We don't live around no trees.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I want to know. Just make sure you don't live around now. But you said you will be in Montgomery Friday. We will be there, too.
I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be there 3 days in a week, so pick a date.
Well, to be honest with you, if you're there Friday, you can go ahead and get your head start on back home.
Well, we're planning on going home. Not without taking some asses with us.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Once you get your ass towed up, you can go. You get a head start back home early.
I don't think so, dog. Not in this category. Yo, Chris, y'all here? I thought I had him on here, Bree. I guess he ain't on.
Hey, Ant.
Yo.
You know where he at, don't you?
Down there trying to cut a light?
He's still asleep.
He's still asleep.
He's still asleep.
Who's just telling me about cutting a light, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
What's up, Doc?
You know, at one race we was at, you know, the two cars staged up, the track closed down, we was on the way home, we passed by the damn track. You know he was still at the damn tree, don't you?
Good God almighty.
Good gosh. Good gosh.
On a serious note, though, Ant, you know every time y'all come to the track, y'all want to know why the man at the gate always tell y'all got to pay extra money, right? Because, you know, they got the clock don't run for so long. But since he takes so long to cut a light, they have to put the extension on the damn clock so it won't time him out.
Chris, we hanging up. We're going to hang up, Chris.
No. That's what I
want to
know. I
want
to know the source is calling me out on this.
Oh, this is Mike Hill's mouthpiece.
Oh, Mike Hill's mouthpiece. Okay. This is coming from a guy, me and Ann, we stopped at the red stop, dumping our tanks, and we seen Mike Hill's truck flying down the interstate, and I looked up at Ann and I said, that's the fastest his car's been this year.
Oh, hold on a minute. Hey, you're telling the truth, though. You're telling the truth. But you got to remember one thing, sir. You was at the damn rest stop. You was at the rest stop.
Yeah, we was at the rest stop dumping our tanks, you know, doing our
No, what I'm saying, you was at the rest stop stopping. And so that means you, that's about how fast you is.
I don't hear nobody calling me out now. I mean,
he said it, though. He just said it a while ago, Chris. He said, we got action at Montgomery this weekend.
Okay, let's get it on.
I bet you're going to be that same rest stop dumping shit when the race over.
Dude, it's rough up this joint today, ain't it? So when are we supposed to get it on over at Montgomery? Is he actually going to get it out the trailer this time or going to leave it in the trailer?
I don't know. He might be.
Well, that's what he said. He said, come on over there any one of the 3 days, Chris. How you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing good. I'm beating myself up a little bit because my lights was pretty bad. I mean, they were pretty darn bad. But, you know, live and learn. You have those days.
You're right.
I ain't making
no
excuses. I'm just telling you, my car is bad. I ain't got to make excuses. My car is bad.
Right.
Well, you know, slow as you is on the light, it gotta be fast, O'Gree.
Well, I understand that too. I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row we've come home because of me, not because of the car, because of me.
You ain't got the hint yet. Maybe you ought to put somebody else. Maybe you got a shortage in the car between the seat and the steering wheel.
That's what it may be. Darn it, man. Ask him what I told him.
Oh, whenever I'm ready.
What'd I tell you? I told him, whenever he's ready, all he's got to do is crawl in. It's his to drive.
Well, you ain't never got to worry about that because he worse than you is.
Good God, I'm
hanging up on that one for you.
Dude, we can't get no respect, can we, Tommy?
Nah, no matter how fast we go, we still can't get it.
Y'all fast as hell. Y'all real fast. You just got, you know, you got that shortage on the start line that you know that that's slowing you down.
I've seen the man go home and went a 3-8 and lost. Yeah, I mean, that worked on today.
Yeah, I mean, he
could
do the same thing.
Drive around
my heel.
Just drive all around it. I'm going to Montgomery this weekend for one reason. I only got one thing in mind. That's take that track record back where it belongs with Dig Daddy.
Oh. We'll, We'll see Friday and Saturday where that track record stay at or where it go.
If I have to turn that four stage on, I'll go ahead and do it on you and be done with it.
Cause I'm gonna have two of them in that Friday Saturday shoot for that, trying to up that track record.
So
yeah,
he
gonna have two shots to get it, Chris, but ain't gonna fall short every time.
Yeah.
Two cards to try to take off.
Do I need to bring two cars, or you think we can do it with one,
Ant? He don't even want to see the other car. He don't really want this one, but he don't want the problems from the other one either. He's running shitless scales from that one.
Shit, it might be better for y'all to bring two head in. I really don't have to worry about
two. Well, all right, we bring two of them. You gonna line both of them up? Run both cars.
Yeah, why not?
They go.
Y'all bring
in that car.
I tell y'all what. Y'all bring two cars the weekend. We'll run. I'll run y'all with mine, and then we'll put that old one against Robert.
Oh, okay, sounds good. We can make that happen.
I don't know. My driver, he's about like Crystal. He can't cut no light yet, so I don't know. I'm gonna eat my words.
That's what I said.
I'm gonna apologize for that one.
Maybe me and Turkey need to
race
then, huh?
Maybe me and Turkey
need to get it together.
he did have a sentence something on the tree the other day, but he was by himself, so I was like, I don't know. Maybe y'all two need to race, and we can all get up there and push y'all and make y'all go in the light. Come on.
Dude, I went total brain dead. I had an 025, an 034, and an 042, and then 160 when I hit the first round. I just went brain dead. Brain dead, I'm telling you. So, it is what it is. I lost the race. It was my fault. But, hey, the car run, the car done its job.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey Chris, you bringing my son with you this weekend to Montgomery?
Who's that?
Little Justin, little skinny.
Oh no, he ain't coming with me. We don't need to do all that stuff. I mean, we don't pull the valve covers off our motor. You know there's.
I just need to know if I could drag him with us.
Bring him on. Tell him to come on.
Aye.
Yep, tell him to come on. So we gonna go ahead and go slow down over there, all. I mean, I think the track will be good, the weather will be good. We should all run good over there, really, you know. All of us should. So even Mike, if he'll get that car out of the trailer, he'll run good.
It'll be out of there. I don't know what day, but it'll be out of there.
You gonna pull it out this time? Yeah,
the Kuwaiti guy, they want a race now, so he was kind of disappointed by his reaction time in Rockingham, so he was like, man, I need to practice, and he want a race. And so he wanted to race in that race, and my crew, like, let's race both cars. I said, hell no, we ain't got enough crew to keep up with one car. I'm talking about racing two cars. So the plan was to let the Kuwaiti guys race in the race Friday and Saturday and then race mine on Sunday. But we probably still come out of the trail on Friday and do a little shaking now. I might put it in the field and just see which one the fastest.
There you go.
Pull the line. That's all you got to do. We'll be waiting.
We'll be standing there, won't we? Come to the front. Knowing that some gun's laying down for laps now. Once we get over in Montgomery, and it won't go A to B.
I know, right? We stick on there.
So.
Hey, Chris, y'all got it. Now, Ron, you got to goddamn get on Ron. I watched you at ADRL, and Ron put that camera so close. You had your top rub on, and Ron was up there putting that camera up there to your back tire.
you ought to have seen the track official looking at me like, what the hell? It was scary because it almost, I thought you were in the stage and Raw right there at your time.
Yeah. Yeah, I got
to go across the quarter panel catch.
Well, it was scary. I was.
It's a matter of time for them to shut me off. I can see it coming. I can see it coming. But, you know, I think that old dogs, new tricks is kind of tough. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, hey. New trick.
Hey, Chris, I want to thank y'all for calling in, and I'm sure the callers are looking forward to seeing y'all over in Montgomery. We're going to move into the next segment of the show. We're getting ready to close it down before it counts out on me. But if y'all got anything else you want to add right quick, I'd love to get it in there. Otherwise, I'm going to go on to the next callers and go into the closing of the show. Y'all got anything else you want to add, Chris and Boney?
Go ahead, Boney.
We out of here, Brad. Go and shut it down.
Well, throwing you to get ready to go into the closing arguments of the show. I want to thank all our listeners for calling in. The closing statement is I'm going to go down for the callers that called in if they would like to add anything. Our first one would be 912-4274. Closing statement, if you would like to, or if not, just, you know, say, hey, we'll holler at y'all next week. Dolomite, what you got to say?
He's taking care of customers right now, Brett.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm finna go to mute. That'll be fine. I'm going to get to you last, dog. 313-5727, closing statement.
Yeah, I love you guys' show. I've been listening to you since day one, Mr. Brett, man. You got a lot of information, Mr. Marino and the Nelsons and Dog. I love you, too, because you get a lot of information. And I'm
appreciate
listening
it,
to you every week.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Going down. Mike, your mic is hot. You got anything you want to say? Mike Hill, folks.
No, good. Good show, Brett, man. Like I said, I caught the last beginning of it. And just keep doing what you're doing. And October the 11th and 12th, you know, we got that $50,000 big dog. Just want to remind everybody of it.
$55,000.
There's $50,000 for promos alone and over $75,000 total purses, you know, with the other classes combined. You're right, though, dog.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
678. That was Aunt Bone and them. They good. I guess that's everybody.
Is Jimmy still on the phone, Brad, man?
Yes. Yeah, there goes Jim. Yeah.
Yeah, well, now Jimmy got to be last. I can't be last. It's y'all show. I just came on. Jimmy last, if you don't mind. I don't want to be last.
He always be last out the door anyway. Go ahead, dog.
Okay, yeah, I want to personally thank Breadman and Jimmy Moreno and Chris Nelson and all the guys that's on here. What y'all that have been listening to these shows don't realize, these guys taking out of their personal time. They're not getting no benefit from this here. They're taking out of their own personal time just to come out and give y'all this good information. And like I said, special props out to Jimmy, because Jimmy, if he don't know it, he ain't say he know everything. He said he'd get back with it. And just like on the tire side, smart people can come up with a whole lot of situations. Normally, we ain't gonna be able to cover every situation, but like when Mike brought in another situation, that calls for another answer. No answers on here that we give you are wrong. If they are wrong, I'm quite sure Breadman or somebody will come back and go over it and correct this and thing. So I said that to say this here. When we give out these tech tip shows like this here, I'm glad y'all appreciate it. As long as y'all appreciate it and we got people out there listening, we're gonna continue to do it. And what I mean by that, Brad, man, don't forget, I got my Ask Ernie Tech Tip coming on today at 6 o'clock on my station, 714-888-6900. 7485. And anything that you might have not got a chance to discuss on this show, you can bring it over there. And we do go hand in hand to go with the tech tips. So whatever Jimmy said, if he don't know it, he would do the research and get back with people. And Breadman will give you the platform to ask your questions. And with that being said, man, I appreciate you letting me come on here and run my mouth the way I do. But, I try to bring in worst-case scenario stuff. And in that instance, it helps everybody. So with that being said, Breadman, outstanding show. Jimmy, you and Chris, y'all, keep doing what you're doing, man. Love all y'all, man.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Big Jim. You got the flow.
I just want to thank everyone for listening. It seems like the lines are filling up a lot more than they were when we first started, and I appreciate that. And we're just out there to help people learn a little more and give them some knowledge and keep this thing competitive and keep it going. So I enjoy doing it just as much as and I appreciate that everyone appreciates that we are doing it. So and honestly, it makes me think. When you guys ask the questions, it makes me think, and as long as my mind's going, I'm living. So, I appreciate answering the questions. And thank you all for listening.
Hey, I appreciate that. Well, this is the Bread Man. That was Jimmy Marino. I want to thank all of you for calling in and participating, most of all. Like Dog said, Grudging provide a way for everybody to have a platform in order to gather information. I want to thank Mike Hill and Chris, Aunt Boney Performance. I want to thank all the big timers for calling in and just making this show what it is. We can't do it without people participating. Shout out Jim West out in Alabama, all my Alabama folks, Mississippi, Mississippi Joe, you know what I mean? I want to thank him. You know, I never have, but I do. He gave me this opportunity to get on his show and, get comfortable with doing this here. This is a very tough job. You really don't know if people are going to like the way you talk or whatever, but I want to make sure that I send a shout-out to Mississippi Joe one time, the Bread Man. With that being said, I'm going to move right along. Y'all know the way I end my show is always with a word of encouragement. Let me go into it. You are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is a part of God's divine plan. With God standing beside you, nothing can defeat you. Y'all, have a blessed week. I look forward to seeing y'all in Montgomery, Lord willing. I hope that everyone stays safe and motivated. With that being said, this is the Bread Man, one time for your mind. Y'all have a great week. We out of here.